Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Just the way Hobo is in there, an extra time there at the end. Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And let today be known and tonight as the night that Carmelo Anthony saved Frank Vogel's job all by himself. It is maybe the greatest night in Melo's professional career, Mike Harmon. He saved a coach single-handedly.
Well, like a beast coming up with big play after big play, ice in his veins, three free throw makes, keep that lead extended. A lot of scary moments. I know we were keeping an eye on James Worthy whenever memes started for him doing studio work for the Lakers. Doesn't it seem like game? five years ago since that victory over the Celtics when we played all those great sound bites and big claps and smoking cigars? That seems like a lifetime ago.
Worthy's like, halftime. He had nothing going on when they were losing to Orlando. And Frank Vogel's going, man, I got 24 minutes and I'm getting fired. Oh, boy. Oh, thank goodness Melo's making shots. Oh, I'm so glad we got Melo.
Never Melo's let him see you sweat. Job. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy on the sideline coaching his ass off on every possession.
Yeah, it was like game 7 of the finals. We're bringing guys in and out. We're pulling guys and they're making a bad play.
Ooh, well, if you're to believe any of the reports, Jason, that's how he's got a coach now.
Yeah, yeah.
Every possession is the most meaningful possession of his life. Like, so it's like it's the speed. Don't get below 60. Don't get below 60.
So Frank Vogel watch. Wow, 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 wow. Likely he will survive the weekend as the Lakers beat the Magic, the 8-win Orlando Magic, 116-105. But the Lakers were down 8 at halftime. It did not look good. You had all kinds of rumors swirling around. We'll get to Russell Westbrook for John Wall in a second. And when the first half came and Westbrook took that shot that's making its way around social media, taking a jumper that hit off the top of the backboard. I mean, I've played basketball a long time, right? I've never taken a jumper that off balance that I've hit the top of the backboard. I know I never have. I've had air balls and I've had shots that hit the backboard or hit the bottom of the backboard. You know, on the way to, I've never shot one from that hit the top of the backboard and bounced up in the air. I know I never have.
I can't say for certain that hasn't happened. Might have been doing a Philip Seymour Hoffman impression when doing it, but either way, that one went viral in a matter of 20 seconds. The screen grab and post and gone. That's it. It was off to the races. I saw some creative responses, some cool memes. Keep them going. Send them along if you see them out there in your social media universe, at Swollen Dome, at How About a Fresca. But one was, does he have the Magic plus 4.5?
Taking that shot, maybe. I mean, it's in the first half, and it's Westbrook doing his thing, and he dribbles down to the and he comes back out. All right, it's not working. I'm just going to be right inside the three-point line. I'm going to put up a 15-footer, and it's a 15-footer that hits the top of the backboard. A 15-footer.
Not something that was
Three, or he was in his face, or time was running down. It was a very calm, no one's on me, and I'm taking a three. I'm taking this 15-footer, and it's off the top of the backboard.
Well, adrenaline's a funny thing. All of a sudden, you got that extra juice, right? Like when you're trying to putt and you hit it too hard, or maybe, there's so many other analogies in sports, or even, just trying to take care of business around your house. Maybe you added a little too much force when you're screwing in a light bulb. It's like, oh, no, I just heard that pop. Damn it, electricians are expensive. Should have gone to that school!
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. But we know now, likely Frank Vogel will live to fight another day. The Lakers get back to 500. Melo is great off the bench for the Lakers tonight. Really, look, it was LeBron had a big night, yes, but Melo off the bench was the difference for the Lakers, especially in the second half. He goes for 23 in 17 minutes. He makes four threes. The Lakers bench comes through. And look, outside of that shot,
Westbrook had a decent game.
Outside of that, he had
a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Well, three turnovers.
Yeah.
You know, which is in that discomfort zone, but he was 8 of 17 from the field, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, plus 11 for the night. I know it's the Magic, but you know what? It was game 7. Right? This is staving off elimination. The only time you'll ever hear that phrase, politics and sports.
Well, I'll tell you, the only thing about this, right, you talk about staving off elimination, is that, look, the Lakers are a mess, and all you've heard the last couple days, look how a mess the Lakers are, and they are. Do they have any ramifications coming up that can help them? Do they have to make a trade? Do they have to fire the head coach? Everything is out there. Is LeBron just done? Should they trade Anthony Davis? Everything is out there. The one good thing for the Lakers is that now they know that this is the time, right? Like, it's go time now. Like, they know that everything is on the table and there's going to be big changes coming. Whether you thought so or not, or you thought, well, we'll keep going a little bit, we'll get Anthony Davis back, all these things, you could tell the Lakers are now on notice. And the way they played, look, LeBron has been trying to do it by himself. Westbrook has a big game tonight after he gets benched. Melo comes off the bench with 23. Monk comes off the bench. He has 10 and 4 and a couple of assists, and he has a pretty decent game. So you could tell the Lakers had that energy tonight of, okay, we're on notice now. It's like when a team actually fires its manager in baseball and the team automatically plays better because it doesn't matter who you bring in as a manager. The team is going to go, okay, this is a reflection on us. It's kind of what the Lakers have done without actually letting anybody go. Right, you had Vogel on Vogel watch.
Wow, 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 wow.
Westbrook getting benched. What his future's going to be? So now at least they know. So I would expect some inspired play between now and the All-Star break when they can get a rest a bit. Maybe it just turns out to be one game and Vogel gets fired the next game. But at least now they all seem like they know. Okay, it's time to kick it up a notch. And tonight they did.
Well, you got this Grammy road trip, right? Like Chicago, they always had the circus road trip back when Ringling Brothers used to come to town, where they had this extended trip, Grammy Awards here in Los Angeles. So Lakers and Clippers get the hell out and go to work. It's the first step. And it's against Orlando. The rest of the schedule is not your friend. So if we're really doing this every night watch, well, the next game, just have the should Frank Vogel have been fired and the phone number on your sheet of paper, because it's going to be the same thing. Can Carmelo Anthony be a superhero every night? LeBron James, what is that, 16 games in a row with at least 25 points? And, you know, he's always going to be able to say, well, I did my job. I mean, what do you want from me? So it's succeed and proceed, right? You take on Mo Bamba and company. Cole Anthony barely gets out of his car to come play this one. And now you move forward and hope that you can get a consistent effort, because that's really the only thing that's getting you through. I don't know if it's enough to save his job, because it sounds like, you know, everything you read, everybody wants blood. Someone must go!
Well, it's funny you say that, Mike Harmon. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon here on Fox. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. It makes sense to mention that because Mark Stein in the New York Times and a couple other places reporting that the Rockets would be okay with once again doing a John Wall for Russell Westbrook deal if the Lakers would sweeten the pot. The Rockets, who are not playing John Wall this year because they want to commit to younger players, and by all accounts, Wall has been a pretty good guy as far as helping the young players understand where it's at. You know, a little bit younger than Westbrook. And the Rockets would easily do it. And they would probably take Westbrook and waive him and go forward. You know, he's got the expiring deal next year. So this is on the table if the Lakers would sweeten it by giving a first-round draft pick. Now, the reason Wall for Westbrook makes sense is because they make the same amount of money. It doesn't have to worry about anything else, throwing players in. It's the same. It's one player for the other. The Rockets are okay with it if the Lakers are, as long as the Lakers trade a first-round pick. And that earliest pick they can trade is a 2027 first-round pick. Now, already I've seen people on the internet going, why would you give a first-round pick? Why, you've given away so many. You did a, yeah, it's 2027. Who knows what the hell the world is going to be in 2 weeks? You're worried about a first-round pick in 5 years? Rob Pelinka, what are you worried about? You're not going to be running the team in 5 years. What does it really matter if you trade another first-round draft pick? Make that the next guy's problem, because your problem is right now. Your problem is the end of LeBron James' career and trying to win a championship. And clearly, Russell Westbrook hasn't worked. Now, will John Wall work? I think Wall will work a little bit better, completely different game. He can assimilate into the Lakers offense and you know, basically do whatever LeBron wants him to do. So that is clearly worth it. For a first round pick in 5 years, why wouldn't you do that? Really, what you really want to trade Talen Horton-Tucker and a couple other guys for Jerami Grant, or do you want to do this? I don't know why you wouldn't do this. I don't know why the Lakers, you don't do it right away and go, yeah, okay, it's money. It's the same money we owe. Okay, great, here. Okay, great. Yeah, we got John Wall. I don't know why you wouldn't do that if you're the Lakers. I don't, why people are so hung up on a first-round pick in 5 years from now. I don't get it.
Yeah, I just, whenever draft picks get involved in any of these scenarios, we've done it with the NFL, and certainly a lot of times as we get to the deadline in the NBA. If you're doing your job, then that pick should suck, right? It should be in the high 20s or right at the end of the round if you've done your job properly, which means who cares? And even if not, who cares? How many of these guys come in and set the league on fire? Because really, you're the Lakers. How many times should you be vying for, you know, a number one pick or have more than just a handful of ping pong balls into the draft lottery? You shouldn't. Ever. With the way the market's set up, the way Los Angeles is a siren call for so many guys, LeBron James there or not. Right, being part of that iconic brand and the merchandising and selling, and yeah, I know taxes suck here, traffic sucks, all of it go through. But to have the opportunity to play for the Lakers, yeah, it's got juice. It always did, even during that six-year downturn. They just didn't do anything right, and they didn't, you know, things were gestating, but you needed to accelerate it because, well, folks were mad, and it looked directionless. So, yeah, if really the sticking point is a first-round pick, see ya. For what, 5 years from now? Come on.
I really doesn't.
Come on, those guys
why
aren't even finished.
First round pick?
The first-round picks are in, what, sixth grade right now?
I know,
for crying out loud.
You know, I scouted that kid in sixth grade, Mike Harmon. You know, he's on the sixth grade team that Bronny is on. And boy, I'll tell you, he's a good player. I'll tell you, he really sees the court well. I don't know what I would do that. That's really something.
Yeah, if John Wall is healthy and ready to go and can come in and contribute immediately, it's a no-brainer.
I don't get it. In 5 years, we don't want to take that.
You know, I was watching some kids on the playground the other day. I don't know if one of them's a future first rounder. I mean, Maddie told me that kid was only in sixth grade, but I tell you, he had a pretty sweet looking jump hook where he did this big curl thing like he was doing the shot put. He had a really cool, weird motion. Maybe that could revolutionize things. What the hell are we doing?
That kid's got a wingspan. He reached over and grabbed my milk like it was nobody's business. I'll tell you, that was very difficult. I mean, really, in 2027, in 5 years. So someone who, at the very earliest, is going into high school is going to be that pick. At the earliest. Because, you know, who knows? Maybe they're going to allow people in the NBA right out of their sophomore year of high school in 5 years. Who knows how it's going to go? I mean, really, why wouldn't you do it? I mean, that's the sticking point. You got to sweeten with a first round. Yeah, go ahead, take it. Go ahead, take a first round pick.
That ain't really sweetened. I mean, that's the synthetic crap they put on the table to say, well, you don't really like sugar because sugar's bad for your body. Here's a bunch of chemicals in a packet. Go take that.
Look, just think about it. Something like this, okay? Cam Reddish, right? He was a top 10 pick 2 years ago, and he's already been traded.
I'm sitting on a stack of stuff of his from 2019, and if he becomes the player that he could be, I'm dancing in that Knicks uniform. Are you kidding me?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Mike check. Do you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game? What's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. And let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
To make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. We will have plenty of big-time NBA coming up, and really the Lakers, Russell Westbrook for John Wall. The Rockets would say, hey, just give us a first-round pick. Oh, the Lakers, look at that. Just when you thought Russell Westbrook was untradeable. No, here comes one team saying, oh, yeah, we'd be okay getting Russell Westbrook back. I mean, look, he's not going to play for us like John Wall's not playing for us, but we're okay with making that trade. That'll work for us.
Well, I love the curiosity of it all, right? Of, you know, what is it going to take to push you over? And what's great about anything speculation with the Lakers is there's the obligatory paragraph of, well, technically they can include any of these players. And you could tell even the person clicking the keyboard to put those names in doesn't want to put those names in. But they're like filler. It's like, all right, we have to put some players that would go in any kind of deal. And we did get a note related to the Grammy trip about, you know, the Grammys and postponements. Well, I understand that. It's still the Grammy trip. Okay, just because they're not going on now doesn't mean that's not the historical term for this long, extended-ass road trip as you get to the end of January and early February. It remains the same. And that's going to grow on.
It is. It works. And for the Lakers, you know, especially hoping something works because, you know, nothing has so far. You know, some big-time football to get to. We're going to pick the Saturday games coming up in about 20 minutes here on the show and pick all the games. Got a couple of upsets coming your way. But before we get to Jerry Jones, just a couple of minutes on Dick Butkus. Right, the Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I can't say discovered Twitter, but he's rediscovered Twitter because he didn't have a blue check mark and then apparently just got his blue check mark today and celebrated his blue check mark by an absolute tweet storm where he has now wanted to take people on Twitter. And the first thing he does after getting the blue check mark is saying, just like that, got the blue hash mark. Now let's start calling out all of the doubters. Okay. Next tweet. Now that I have the blue mark, I can kick people off the platform, right? You hear me? Aaron Rodgers 12. Dick Butkus, Bears legend, going after Aaron Rodgers. I got a blue check mark. Now I can go after Aaron Rodgers. It works. I kind of dig the fact that he waited to get the blue check mark before, you know, getting all nuts on social media. But first thing he does is, hey, you know what? Yeah, you think you still own the Bears? All right, I'm going to come after you on social media. 79 years old, Mike Harmon. 79.
Getting after it. Getting ready to work on a podcast. We went back and forth on Twitter earlier in the week. And so, like, we're Twitter friends now. So working to see if we can get him on to promote said podcast here in short order. But it's fun. I mean, you know, talking about trying to get verified and relating what a big pain in the ass that was. and having to have a bunch of people in Chicago media. It's like, thank you to you and you and you for, and he did a couple of local interviews, like Bears legend can't get verified on Twitter. Like it was a big thing. Mm-hmm. And now he's mm-hmm. basically just shouting stuff up, and he's got a family member clickety clacking away and typing his response.
He's got, okay,
it's
like
brilliant.
In the last 4 hours, he said, hey, I want to thank my, he's had about 50 tweets today. Taking a moment here, I want to thank all my new loyal followers. Then his next tweet was, I'll try not to disappoint any of you, but if I do, it's too damn bad. Okay, that's fine. Also, sorry to disappoint some of you Packers fans. Now that I'm trendy, it's not because I'm dead. That, again, very funny.
That was
then he
good.
Says, then he says, I'm not going to be able to respond to all of you tonight. Thank you kindly for your support. Okay, so now he's done. No, no, he had another tweet. Going to get ready to enjoy the sunset. Be back tomorrow for football. Stay safe, Chicago. Okay, that's it. Then, then he's done. No, now he's back. My son says I can't have my damn dinner unless I make a curtain call because I'm trendy and need to thank everyone. So thank you. Now let me eat. Okay, so that's it. Now he's done. No, he's back with a what the hell is in your bio? And I don't know why. That's just his tweet. Okay, now you think, no. Then again, enough chit-chat. Now I'm going to eat. Stay safe, Chicago. So he said goodbye on the night. Like, he's got to say goodnight on Twitter. Like he's hosting the Tonight Show. All right, good night, everybody. Tomorrow, our guests, we got Paul Rudd on and the Cowboy Junkies. All right, good night. We'll see.
But here's one of the responses that I had to bring out. A guy named Tyler Scobie responded to the, hey, now that I have the blue check mark, you know, you hear me, Aaron Rodgers. Quote, so glad to see the mark, exclamation point. I still wear your jersey. I've had it since I was a kid, and it's all worn out now, but it still fits, LMAO. Not a lot of people around my age know who you are, and I love being able to show them. This person really likes exclamation points. Dick Butkus, now verified with the response, Sorry you are still trapped in a kid's body.
I'll tell you what's going to happen.
Look for those kind of gems. He's been trending all day.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's going to happen. Here, this is what's going to happen. Dick Butkus is going to be really fun, and then he's going to say something he really shouldn't, and he's going to get in a lot of trouble, and then it's going to be, I can't pay attention to Dick Butkus anymore. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Nah,
he's going to say the wrong thing to the wrong person. No, I don't mean he's going to say something but he's going to tell the wrong person to go blank themselves or something. Like, that's what he's going to do.
Look, eventually it's going to be me.
Yeah,
I think it's going to go down that way. I'll be the one to say something in a smart ass back and forth. But I just love the interaction. I can't wait to see. I mean, this is a guy, you know, when he's done media appearances for different things, very pointed commentary, particularly about the North and the Bears and going back to all the rivalry games against the Packers. I mean, how many times have you seen GIFs over the last few months before this Twitter surge for him of different clips from his playing days, including the famous score off of the botched kick attempt where he scored and then, you know, does the taunting of flipping the ball to the defender at the end of it, right? All of those things that made him a legend. I can't wait. It's like the stories that, you know, I can't wait to read this weekend out of Eric Dickerson's book, who joined us earlier in the week. Yep. I mean, go back another 20 years when you've got Butkus running around Papa Bear Hallis times and Ditka as a player. So I think we've got some story time still to come here.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Jerry Jones was at it today on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, and he was not happy. Not happy. Not happy with questions. Not happy with talking about the Cowboys, another playoff failure. Many things he has talked about. We'll get to them. But the big thing was when Jerry Jones was asked about solving the Cowboys' issues and what are they going to do in the offseason to solve their problems. And Jerry Jones said, offseason, we don't solve problems now. Take a listen.
Now, let me be real clear. Mm-hmm. One of the pet peeves I have is that I don't like this, well, we've got to work on this in the offseason. We've got to work on this. I don't go for that. I've been trying to push that. I want those things recognized and addressed after we play Tampa, after the first game, or after we play the sixth game. I don't want to wait until we're sitting here with no season left to address address these things we're doing or not doing. And so all of that's in the mix here and a part of what I do.
So basically, I just think we should all have a big fat vacation. You know, let the guys who want to draft figure out what it is. Steven calls me, but I don't want to see anybody around the facilities from now until the first week of September. So we don't need to worry about stuff in this pesky offseason. I need time to do other things and make some more money and try to fire coaches. So forget about doing things in the offseason because, you know, you don't improve at all in the offseason. May as well just not do it. Put footballs down and don't do it. Get away from the game. Get on your iPad and play some of those fun. Play that little Schmertle game that's going on right now, and you got to guess little words in it. You know, play that one. You know, post your score up. That'd be a fun thing right there to go do. But don't worry about solving problems in the off season.
Oh my goodness.
I like the idea of, hey, you know what? The things that were wrong, right, during the quote-unquote slump that everybody wanted to ignore, the fact that you were bum slayers, all of those things. I mean, I'm like, hey, I'm going to talk to Mike McCarthy. I'm bringing in audio of all of Troy Aikman's commentary. All right, guys, let's talk. Because we all watched it live in a living color going, all right, CeeDee Lamb seems like he's off on an island. Why is he not seeing the ball? So different things, in-game adjustments. And yes, I know we can ridicule it about what you do in the offseason. But I do like that. I mean, it's owing to the urgency of, you know, I would like us to respond in the moment and not look back and go, oh, that's what we did wrong.
What does he think is going? Does he really think that the coaching staff is not trying to solve problems during the season? What happened? Tell me what happened against Tampa. I don't know. All right. Well, let's have a better answer next week. I mean, don't you think, shouldn't you always be trying to solve problems? I mean,
yes.
Really, when you're, don't
no,
you,
you should
you don't
be.
Pick times. I wish I could do that in school. When I was in school, teacher go, here's your science test. Oof. You know, I don't want to solve these problems now. I'd rather do it at a different time. When? I don't know, but not now because I don't know the answers. And I'm just going to get a bad mark on it. So I'd like to take this test in like 6 months or so. But you'll have graduated. Oof. Oh, so I'll miss the test. Well, you know what? I'll get used to disappointment. I mean, you should be honestly, you're trying to solve problems all the time.
Sure.
Yes, there's certain things you of course you have to solve week to week. What do you think the coaches are doing between week one and week two and week two and week three and week three and week four? You think they're not trying to solve problems? I mean, you think they're not? This
yeah,
is when
I,
you
I
solve
think,
your personnel the issues and you make moves and
sure.
You decide we got to get out from under Ezekiel Elliott's contract no matter how much you love him, or we got to move on from Amari Cooper no matter how disappointed you are in him because now he's disappointed in Amari Cooper. He didn't give Mike McCarthy a big vote of confidence going into the season, so he could wind up making a big move at the head coaching position at some point if something big comes up. These are the problems. Yeah, you still have to solve stuff in the offseason, man. You got to solve problems all the time. You don't just pick and choose when to solve the problems.
No, absolutely. But it's one of those, as you string it together, if it becomes a consistent issue, and obviously how and when and to what extent you used Ezekiel Elliott on a week-to-week basis was certainly cause for concern. A couple of weeks you had no choice because Tony Pollard was hurt, right? He wasn't available to you. And even Ezekiel Elliott, we know with the PCL injury and his ability and look down the stretch, right? The games where he's getting, 1 yard per carry before contact, that's not good for business. You know, right? So the offensive line, the structure, whatever else. But the consistent things, that's the, all right, what were we trying to do? And I think that's the frustration is at the moment is like, we did everything we could. And you gave us this roster. And Dan Quinn, who's been hailed as a damn wizard, right? You'd think this guy's the greatest coach ever and that everybody's expecting him to go on a Belichickian run wherever he goes. Right? It's going to be Belichick part two. Because, you know, the hype that's come out of this defense, again, six games against the NFC East. You play who's on the schedule, but when you dominate them, it helps skew some things along the way. But it's that idea of I gave them all that. We should have been adjusting. We had the talent. Didn't we have the talent? Sure. Because part of that is looking in the mirror and realizing another year's gone by too, right? Another season, another opportunity. And you thought at least in the moment. And look, towards the end of the season, right? Just like at the beginning, folks were starting to get hyped about the Cowboys again. And what'd they do? They fell flat. vanquished on their home field.
You know, you wonder why the Cowboys don't win, right? When you get answers like this from the owner about when to solve problems, like we're not doing it during the season, but now is not the time to solve them. Oh my! This is not a volunteer little league where, you know, you got coaches coming in that, hey, listen, I got to have practice on Tuesday and Thursday at 4:30 because it fits in with my schedule. It's a bleeping National Football League, man. You've been an owner for 30 years, and you're saying, oh, we're not trying to solve problems. Then we're only trying to. We're trying to solve them now, and we can't solve them now. My head hurts. You know.
Yeah. No. It's. I think you're being too literal with Jerry.
But the. But really. I don't.
I think he's just pissed. He didn't talk about his monkeys, and you're mad.
Listen. You want to take something really big away from this outside of the Jerry Jones is like, what are you saying? Is that he didn't give Mike McCarthy a vote of confidence. Does this mean he's going to replace Mike McCarthy? No, but if a big name came up, like a Jim Harbaugh name, oh yeah, he'd go all in for that. Like he's not gonna go, well, I'm getting rid of Mike McCarthy, I want to talk to Brian Flores, or I want to go talk to Dan Quinn. He's not gonna do that. This is, I'll go big game hunting if I can, and yes, oh, Jim Harbaugh wants to come to the NFL, then that's the guy I'm gonna go get. If there is a big name that can come available or that he reaches out to and would potentially want to go to the Cowboys, that's what he's going to do. So it's not like he has to worry about the cycle of coaches who are being hired and talked to now. It's if I can get that big game, that big fish that I've always wanted or that I could get right now, then I'll go do it. Because not giving Mike McCarthy that vote of confidence when other teams have been already talking to a bunch of candidates, that speaks volumes. He will go get a big guy, and if he's there, Mike McCarthy's out.
Yeah, I think the big guy's in the room. if we're really going through, and obviously I made fun of it by comparing it to Belichick with the hyperbole surrounding Dan Quinn, but you see how the players rallied to him. And Kellen Moore, maybe he finds a job, too, in this cycle.
I'm actually going to coach the team, too. I mean, I may as well, right, because I do everything else. I'll come down and call the plays. Steven will tell me what all the words mean and, you know, what it means. They do, like, 65 toss power trap and black 79 razor. What that stuff mean? Because I think a black 79 razor is, I got a great razor for 79 cents with a bunch of blades on it. That's going to just, you know, give me a nice, clean, close shave. So if we call that, that's a play that works. That's a play that works.
That was pretty good. Yeah, Mike McCarthy did go out of his way yesterday to make sure he you know, I know how to win in this game.
Oh, my goodness.
So now he's feeling backed against the wall, too.
Yeah. Can't get over that. Twitter it out about a Fresca. Mike gets swollen on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. That's why Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, coming up next, we're going to start and kick things off with our big NFL four-game weekend and give you our picks for Saturday. Who do we see walking away with victories? Do we see any upsets? Keep it right here, Jason and Mike, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. And after a long week, we are here for NFL playoff games this weekend. Going to be into the conference championship after this weekend. There's only going to be three games left out of the 272. It's so sad.
Well, no, we already had 272. Now we're into bonus time.
Well, that is true. Yes, we had the 272 and then
playoffs.
Yes.
But to your point, yeah, after this weekend, just three games remaining. And the Pro Bowl.
Sad. Yeah. So there's three games remaining after this weekend, basically.
Well, and then all the festivities are going to be here in L.A. So lots of important people descending upon the city.
And who are going to be two teams tomorrow that will be advancing to conference championship week? Mike and I are going to give you our picks for the Saturday games right now, kicking things off, the Bengals and the Titans. I would love to pick Cincinnati. I would love to pick Cincinnati in this game. They are so much fun. But Tennessee is just too loaded. They're getting Derrick Henry back. Even if Derrick Henry can't go, they have still found a way to run the football. And their offense has looked like its peak Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill's been able to get big yardage over the middle. That's what's going to happen tomorrow. They're going to slowly take over the game. Their defense has become elite. Their defensive line is terrific up the middle. They can get pressure on the quarterback without having to blitz players. They like to use a lot of fronts. They move around a lot. It's going to confuse Joe Burrow. Tennessee is just too good. I'd love to see Cincinnati winning this game, but defensively they're going to keep the clamps down on Cincinnati, and they'll be able to get enough points on the board to win. The Titans go to the AFC Championship game where they're going to host it. Told you a month ago, Titans are going to go to and host the AFC Championship game, and here they are. They're one game away from it. Titans 24-14.
Yeah, you also once had the Browns playing the Patriots, so
that was taking that with preseason. That was preseason. It's before we played any games.
Oh, I had to needle you. Come on. Get in for this one, $219. And we talked about it last night when Arnie Spanier was in for you, Jason. All the measures they were doing to try to keep the resale market as push it off as far as they can. You want to commit to coming to Tennessee? Great. But you're not getting your tickets till the last minute. As we look at it, 3.5, the line. And, you know, one of the things, you got Derrick Henry coming back. What's little known is that the guys that filled in did just fine on the ground. When you look at Hilliard, you look at Foreman. Foreman was at 4.3 yards per carry. You know what Derrick Henry averaged? 4.3 yards per carry. And then you had Hilliard in a smaller sample size, though, at 6.3. So you can still get that balance. And we know the defense. Four of their last five games have come under the total, 47. I'll take Tennessee minus the 3.5 here.
Packers and San Francisco. Look, San Francisco is solid. They're not spectacular. Their defense is very good. Their offense is good enough. Jimmy Garoppolo did just enough against the Cowboys last week. That's not going to be enough on the road against Green Bay, who is way more dynamic. Green Bay is going to score a lot, and they're going to use some wrinkles that the Niners aren't going to be used to. It could be a game where, I go, we didn't think the Packers are going to run the football as much as they did tomorrow. You're going to see some new things out of Green Bay. They've had a couple weeks to sit back. The key is going to be stopping the Niners in the first quarter. As long as the Niners aren't out 10-0 or 7-3 or something like that after the first quarter, they play better when they do that. They gain confidence, and they can play from ahead. It's a much better team, but this is not a team you're going to play from ahead against. You're going to play from behind, and the 49ers just don't have the horses for this one. Give me the Green Bay Packers winning this one, 31-17.
Curiosity here. Much has been made about Nick Bosa's availability, Warner's availability, and trying to talk about the injuries on that side. Za'Darius Smith back for the Packers. Jair Alexander, of course. But, you know, a big one is going to be Bakhtiari, who we're still not quite sure exactly where he's at in terms of availability, and even if he can go, what the level of effectiveness is there. I picked the 49ers before the season. I can't go away from it. Right, I'm with them. But I'm also looking at it from a game perspective. I think, to your point, if they get behind big, historically it's been a problem. They did come back a couple of weeks ago, and they caught a team that everybody loves, right? So I'll take them to win. I'll take the points, of course, when we're looking at 6.5. But 49ers are winning this game outright, and the season, an off-season of discontent, it's going to be so hot there for Aaron Rodgers. It's going to melt, right? All of a sudden, everybody's going to be able to put on their Speedos instead of the parkas.
So there's our picks for Saturday. We got Sunday's games coming up next hour. More NFL on the way. Keep it here. This is Fox.